you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, March 1st, 2016. Happy March, everyone. As they say, we're just marching right along into this new year. Wow. Time is flying quickly. Spring is around the corner. We're all anxious for that warm weather, the new growth, and certainly all that snow finally melted. Well, today you're in for a special treat. As last week, I attended the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, and I had the opportunity to sit down with Keith Getty. Kristen couldn't join in on the conversation, as they had just returned from a trip from Texas, and Kristen had to stay home with their three daughters as they were getting acclimated into being back home. But I set up arrangements to meet with Keith, and at the time, he was not feeling very well. And he had back-to-back-to-back interviews. And so basically, I met him right after he finished a half hour with someone. We walked to a conference room. I pulled out my microphone. And because Keith wasn't feeling that well, I said, hey, you just hold on to the microphone. I'll ask some questions, and we'll turn it into like an NPR, where later on I'll reiterate the questions that I asked you so you can just keep holding on to the microphone and get through our time together, because he had like four more interviews after me. So he was very gracious, and he even recorded a happy birthday greeting that you'll hear next month. But basically, you'll hear our interview in its entirety, where I asked him a variety of questions, and I think you'll be really blessed by his answers and his commitment to the Lord, to his wife, to his family, and to the Christian ministry that God has gifted he and his wife Kristen to. Let me share a little about Keith and Kristen Getty, and then you'll see how I put this interview together. Keith and Kristen Getty occupy a unique space in the world of music today as preeminent modern hymn writers. In reinventing the traditional hymn form, they have created an uncommon catalog of songs teaching Christian doctrine and crossing genres of connecting the world of traditional and classical compositions with contemporary and globally accessible melodies. In Christ Alone, and I'll feature that song a little later in this interview, perhaps the most widely known hymn from the Getty's library, and that was the first song they ever wrote, has held the number one position of most frequently sung in UK churches for 9 consecutive years, and was recently voted the second best love hymn of all time to a BBC Songs of Praise UK national survey, and sits among the top 5 hymns of all time by the UK Hymn Society. The song is also among the top 10 most sung in the US, according to reporting by CCLI. Well, a lot more could be said about Keith and Kristen Getty. They have 3 daughters. They live in Nashville and share their summers with family at home in Ireland. And you'll catch that right away with his accent. And a few times I wasn't even quite sure what he was saying. But he's a delightful brother in the Lord, a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, and a total family man. And you'll hear that in the interview. So as mentioned, we went into a side room, I pulled out the microphone, handed it to him, and began by asking Keith Getty about keeping balance and being grounded in the Lord.
Thanks, Mark. It's a great question, and a question I was even asking myself this morning as I got into my Uber to come down to NRB to be sharing with you all. And, you know, I think it's constantly about priority in life and getting everything in the right order. Alistair Begg used to always say to keeping the main things, the plain things, the main things. And so my daily prayer life is the best way I can serve anybody today, you, my wife, my staff, my children. And so placing that first, trying to make sure I get to pray with my wife, I pray with my kids, is just absolutely core to any day. And John Lennox, who is Kristen's uncle, who's a famous apologist, once said to me when I was thinking, should I be a pastor or a musician? He said, you know, be the best musician you can be and try and make sure your faith is growing faster than your music. And that's the 2 challenges, is we always want to be improving. With every song we write, with every Christmas tour, with every hymn tour, with the conference, with all the different things we're involved in, with hymns for the family, with all the different things we're involved in, we're constantly trying to say, how do we do this better than we've ever done before? Because it should be the thing we're most excited about. But if that is the truth, in the professional and the vocational realm and ministry realm, how much more should it be with our own spiritual life, so that we're loving the Lord more every day, but we're growing in our knowledge and depth of insight of Him. And so, to be honest, you know, the most important pastor in my life is my wife. After that, our best friends in this town are our local pastor and his wife, and it's great. And so, you know, I think it's trying to keep those things at the top and allowing everything else to find its place. You know, gifts, having musical talent is an unbelievable gift. I wouldn't have wanted to do anything else in 100 lifetimes, but it's a lousy god. And so has been able to both flourish that gift without making it a god, I think, is a huge thing.
I then asked Keith to share something about himself that most people don't know. Here's what he had to say.
Well, I got three crazy daughters, and I'm trying to teach them British sports, because I think British sports are better. So I'm trying to teach them soccer. I've tried with cricket, they're not interested. So I'm at least going with soccer for now to see if I can get them to, you know, do embrace that. And they won't watch a game, though. They still want to watch Disney.
Keith and Kristen Getty have three young daughters. I then transitioned the conversation towards his relationship with Kristen and to share a little of their love story. You'll get a kick out of his initial response to me asking what drew him to Kristen.
Have you seen her? Are you stupid? Okay.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah. No, from the first time I met Kristen, she was the most just incredible human being I've ever met, and it's kind of the same, never really changed to this day. And she walked in, and it took me a long time to convince her that I wasn't just some overweight, over self-confident, you know, Presbyterian who dressed in a kind of out-of-date way. And I had to, you know, it took a long time for her to see beyond that, but eventually she saw beyond my faults and failings, to quote Gloria Gaither, and we got together. But I think it was a combination of, she's a beautiful person, she's a beautiful talent, but also she was somebody I wanted to grow old and have grandchildren that were like her. You know what I mean? And that was, and you realize, yeah, that's a great thing, so.
Now, I don't know if you caught what he initially said, but when I asked Keith Getty what drew him to Kristen, he said, "Have you seen her? Are you stupid?" And we both laughed. She's very beautiful, and yet I loved his answer, beautiful inside and out. And as we say here in the U.S., she's a keeper. I then asked Keith to talk about his pastor, Alistair Begg, and their relationship to Pastor Begg and his wife, Sue.
Oh, he has been great to us. You know, 10 years ago this month, Alistair and Sue picked us up at the airport in Cleveland Hopkins and brought us to their home initially for the first month to stay in their home and took care of us. And really, Alistair helped me especially really manage the gifts that God had given to me, to be a good steward of those things, and to make sure the writing remained solid. He got the church praying for us, so we were always very, very tied in with the church. So that the spiritual level was good, the writing was strong, and he introduced us to many key people, which was really helpful as well. But, you know, we're getting together in May, because Kristen and he share a birthday. So this year he's turning 64. So I said, since he loved the Beatles, you know, I'd get together for his, when I'm 64, birthday. So we're going to get together on the 22nd of May at the Sunday in Parkside and be together there, and that'll be a fun weekend.
Well, the 22nd of May is Alistair Begg's birthday, but it's also Kristen's birthday. And I looked it up. I don't know if you knew this. Kristen's full name is Kristen Elizabeth Rebecca Getty. And she was born on May 22nd back in 1980. That makes her 36 years old this May 22nd. And she was born in Belfast, North Ireland. Our conversation then shifted to his three daughters, Eliza, Charlene, and Gracie.
Well, I tried to explain to Eliza. I made a big mistake with Eliza a couple of weeks ago. She's got to an age, she's four now, but she really understands Christianity. And so she's not catching me. I try to take shortcuts and she kills me. I was going out with my old friend Paul Tripp one evening. He was calling to visit us. And so I rushed through the girls' prayers because I realized I was behind schedule. And I should never have done that. So I prayed for Eliza, Charlotte, and Gracie, that they'll come to know the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior and greatest friend. And Eliza went, "Dad, stop." And I said, "Eliza, we're praying." And she goes, "Stop, Dad." She goes, "I know Jesus is Lord and Savior. You only pray that for my sisters." And I went, "Okay." The other really funny one was she was doing a little devotional book at the minute, and one day it said about having a happy heart for children. It was taking the verses from Song of Solomon, and it was saying it's important for children to have a happy heart. And I said, "Do you realize the importance of a happy heart?" She goes, "Yes." I said, "You see, that's why mom and dad get upset when you can be a little bit whiny and moany, because that's not having a happy heart." She goes, "Dad, a happy heart is about knowing Jesus. Whiny and moany has to be looked at each time." And I went
from the mouth of babes.
I'll tell you what. So she's way smarter than her daddy is. So,
from the mouths of babes, I quote Eliza: "A happy heart is about knowing Jesus. Whining and moaning has to be looked at each time." Is that not endearing? Well, in preparation to air the song "In Christ Alone," I asked Keith to talk about it.
No, it was the first song we wrote. It was obviously Sir Tannen's wonderful lyric, but it was really a declaration of our faith. And the earliest hymns of the Christian faith were hymns of declaration of our faith, of what we believe. So it's always great to hear the stories. It's great to hear all the wonderful musical versions there's none of it, but it's most great just to hear congregation sing it.
Here's "In Christ Alone," recorded before an audience, with Kristen sharing some opening remarks.
"For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross."
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my soul. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones.
What a wonderful, powerful, God-honoring, lyric-rich song, In Christ Alone by Keith and Kristen Getty. In fact, I think that's the first song they wrote. In case you just tuned in, you're listening to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And last week, while in Nashville to attend the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, I scheduled a window of time to sit down with Keith Getty. And because he wasn't feeling that well, I just handed him the microphone and let him share some of his life, and I asked different questions, and you're hearing those very questions. But rather than grabbing the microphone and going back and forth, I just let him hold on to it and try to relax in between these multiple interviews that he was giving out to different radio stations. I asked Keith about the influence the Bible has on his lyric writing and who influences his life. Here's what he had to say.
A couple of different things. This year, for the most part, we're trying to use Tim Keller's book in the Psalms, Songs of Jesus, which is really helpful. Until this year, we were using the One-Year Bible quite a lot. I think if you've got an iPhone, the One-Year Bible, you can just download. You can just get it any day. So if you're stuck, it's a great go-to place because you're just reading Scripture. But we also had to do something different this year, so we're enjoying that.
And do you have anyone that's been a real influence on, outside of Alistair Begg, somebody that's really influenced your musical talent or your leading?
I think the most influential person in my life is my wife. I've been privileged to have great pastors and indeed to know many great preachers because of our work. So we get access to them, and they've all got brilliance and unique, literally unique gifts that have brought them to those places. But ultimately, I can kind of fool any of them as to how I'm doing. I can't fool my wife. You know, and so I keep encouraging my friends who are indecisive about things or who are asking about, we need advice in this. I'm saying, look, have you talked about it over and over again with your wife? Have you prayed about it over and over again with your wife? Because, you know, I'm not one with anybody else. I'm only one with her. Do you know what I mean? And so that's a real concern I have about young pastors especially, is a lot of them, I think, are so determined to change the world that their wife is almost becoming a hindrance to them, that they suddenly be nice to every so often instead of that sense of oneness. So, because wives have a way of, they understand, wives believe in our good motivations even when bad ones sneak in. And wives know when they've got bad motivations, even when we're trying to pretend to people that we've good motivations, you know. And so, and they're aware of our strengths. They're aware of, painfully aware of our weaknesses. And so that's just so helpful.
A very powerful insight into the importance of seeking counsel with your mate and the significant roles husbands and wives play in each other's lives, especially when it comes to ministry. I then asked Keith what the greatest challenge in the days ahead for him was in the music industry or in his personal life. Here's what he had to say.
Well, we were kind of fairly independent of the industry. So, you know, we chose to come to NRB this week because it meant we only had to do one week of meetings. You know, so it was great. But our thing is fairly independent. We're so thankful for that. I think the biggest challenge is always to grow as a Christian, to grow in knowledge and depth of insight. So we're trying to just keep doing that and keep doing that better, to raise our girls to love the Lord and find good husbands, or certainly not to find bad husbands would be a good thing. I think as a writer, it's hard. You know, I record hundreds of tunes before I get one that's actually good. And people, you know, forget that sometimes. And we've got these four exciting projects. We've got the Facing a Task project. After the global thing just happened, that album releases in June. It's the most immediate. Then after that, we're releasing Hymns for the Family, which is a whole new way of catechizing children through hymns. And within the sixth year of Irish Christmas, which will be in PBS again this year, and doing some really exciting events, Third Carnegie Show, a number of events. And then the fourth thing is our first ever church music conference next September. So 17th and 20th September 2017, our first church music conference, 500 years after Luther pled for the reformation of the church through the preaching and singing of the word. We're doing a conference in congregational singing, so...
Well, he said he had four different things, but I think I listed about five or six. The Facing a Task Unfinished project, which was launched a few weeks ago in thousands of churches around the country. I think 4,600 churches participated, representing 90 different countries, and an estimated 1 million believers across the globe sang the hymn together on Sunday, February 21st. More to say about that in a couple minutes as we'll play that song. But he also mentioned a new album release in June, a Hymns for the Family CD coming out, the sixth year that he's participated in an Irish Christmas, and that's being put on through PBS, I think at Carnegie Hall. And then he also mentioned his first ever church musician, church music conference that they're going to be putting on in September. And all these things you can find out by stopping by GettyMusic.com, GettyMusic.com. Well, as we're wrapping up our time together, I asked Keith, how can we pray for him and Kristen? And this was his response.
No, we pray just that we grow in our, that we're constantly growing in faith, that our marriage is growing as a Christian marriage, that our children are growing as Christians. And then for our work, you pray primarily for writing, then for the ministry of the 12 Weeks of Touring, and for the stewardship of our music. And over these next 2 years, as our music becomes sung more outside of the West than in the West, we're asking a lot of hard questions about how we be good stewards of it. So,
well, to close out our time together, I asked Keith to talk about their recent Facing a Task Unfinished project. And here's what he had to say by way of introducing the song.
Yeah, the Facing a Task Unfinished song, which has launched this new project, written in China in the 30s when the Chinese army had, the Chinese government were determined to rid the country of 750,000 Christians. And as we sing this hymn, we think that today there are almost 100 million Christians in China, and we give thanks to the Lord. And we ask questions about what we're doing with our lives. We bear the torch that flaming fell from the hands of those who gave their lives, proclaiming that Jesus died and rose. Ours is the same commission, the same glad message, ours, fired by the same ambition. To thee we yield our powers.
Facing a task unfinished that drives us to our knees, a need that undiminished rebukes our slothful ease. We who rejoice to know thee renew before thy throne the solemn pledge we owe thee to go and make thee known. Let's stand.
The hymn, Facing a Task Unfinished, was originally written by China Inland Mission worker Frank Houghton in the 1920s, at the time when the climate of persecution of Christians in China was extremely severe. By 1931, there were 203 new missionaries on the field, and the number of Christians now in China is estimated to be well in excess of 80 million. OMF International, formerly China Inland Mission, recently celebrated its 150th anniversary and invited Keith and Kristen Getty to revisit and rewrite Houston's much-loved and still timely hymn. The Gettys are privileged to be part of introducing this mission's anthem to a new generation. The song will be the title track and name of Keith and Kristen's newest album, coming out in June of 2016, and their upcoming international tours. All royalties earned by this song from all sources and uses will be donated to OMF International in support of their continued work. Well, if you missed a portion of today's edition of Mark and Friends, a few days ago I had a conversation with Keith Getty while attending the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee, and he was very gracious to sit down with me. And I just so appreciate his passion for God, his commitment to his family and church, his love for the Lord, and his songwriting so influenced by God's holy word. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, so please stop by and have a listen or paste the program into an email and allow a friend or neighbor to enjoy it. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.